Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, David Duck Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. Some big news in the streaming realm hit my mailbox the other day, as those who have VRV can now watch a lot of their favorite series on their offline. Like what Netflix does, you can now download your shows onto your phone or tablet and watch them when you lack good Wi-Fi or phone service. So that means a good chunk of Funimation, Crunchyroll, Shudder, VR Selects, and other series of movies can be downloaded to watch whenever you want. Shows like Konosuba, Dofus, Critical Role, Last Man, Bravest Warriors, Cyanide and Happiness, Neil Gaiman's Likely Stories, Fairy Tale, Interviews with Monster Girls, and many others can now be ready for you to watch whenever you want, wherever you want. If you don't have a VRV subscription, I highly recommend getting one. $10 a month gives you Crunchyroll, Nerdist, Shudder, Funimation, VRV Selects, Mondo, Cartoon Hangover, Curiosity Stream, Tested, Mubi, Rooster Teeth, and Geek and Sundry. That's 12 channels with years worth of content for $10. You cannot beat that deal. And while you decide whether or not to give VRV a go, which I hope you do, why don't we jump into this week's playlist? Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today we're going to start things off with one of our favorite bands of the last couple of years, NanoRipe. You can, of course, hear them in the new season of Food Wars, and this particular song is an excellent B-side from that theme song's single. This is Hero.
Thank you. け誰かそばにいてくれるか、
B-side collection, Another Morning, Another Pillows, that was The Pillows with Skeleton Liar, originally found on the Ride On Shooting Star single. Last week saw the release of a new live Blu-ray recorded at the Zepp Tokyo as part of their recent Nuke on the Brain tour. So with the holidays in full swing, I feel like this would be a great opportunity to tell you listeners that when it comes to gaming systems, no console this year would make as impressive of a gift like the Nintendo Switch. And before I continue, no, Reggie or Shigeru Miyamoto, none of the folks at Nintendo have paid me shit to say what I'm about to. This is all just an opinion from someone who owns all the consoles in the market and choosing which one out of them would be the most fulfilling. The PlayStation 4 has a lot of great titles, as does the Xbox One. But when it comes to convenience and the like, I feel like the Nintendo Switch would be the very best to go for, considering that you can find it now in stores everywhere, unlike when it first came out back in March. Now, its portable aspect isn't the only reason why people should be buying this console, but right now, let's focus on that aspect. There's a lot of convenience in having a home console that you can take wherever you want, going from playing on the big screen to the portable one. What's even more amazing is how good the games look on the smaller screen, even when it comes to playing online or co-op. Mind you, you won't see as much detail on the tinier screen as you would see on the bigger one, but it still looks pretty damn good on there. When it comes to playing the absolute best titles of the year, the Switch has it all. First party titles like Zelda Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, the upcoming Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Mario plus Rabbids, and even revamps like Pokken Tournament DX and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe make it an absolute must own. But it's the third parties that help push it just a bit more towards being that must-own console. Ports of Doom, LA Noire, and Skyrim have proven to be just as fun and fulfilling on the go, surprising even the most hardcore gamers out there. But for the shiniest of third-party games, as well as some recommendations to download onto the Switch before you put it under the tree or menorah or Festivus pole, you gotta look at the indies. Titles like Battleship Brigade, Phantom Trigger, Mr. Shifty, Fast RMX, and Golf Story have earned the acclaim from critics and gamers alike and are highly recommended by yours truly. Although, if you do get some of the much bigger games, I do recommend getting an external micro SD card. I just got a really good one for about $50 on Amazon, the 200 gig one. Although that was Black Friday, so by the time you hear this podcast show, it'll probably be back to its original $100 price. But anyways, if you're looking to get a console for your kid or beloved, I highly recommend the Nintendo Switch out of all of them. Of course, if you already got one, then I would say go for the PlayStation 4 with PlayStation VR. I know it's the polar opposite of the Switch, but the PlayStation VR has proven to be a great investment for gamers, especially with titles like Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, Doom VFR, Arizona Sunshine, and Skyrim VR leading the charge. And there are so many other titles on the way for PlayStation VR that I think is going to help push it be a must-own peripheral for the PlayStation 4. But yeah, go for the Switch for your gift-giving needs. If you've got the cash for it, please, I urge all of you listeners, do not bankrupt yourselves for the sake of some extra holiday cheer. If you got the money for it, go for it. But if you don't, just try to feel out what your kid or boyfriend or girlfriend may want for Christmas instead, okay? I know I've been pushing the Nintendo Switch in this segment, but I understand that if you can't afford to get one, I'm not telling you to buy one, because let's face it, it's hard to save up money these days, to be absolutely blunt. But if you can, go for Nintendo Switch. If they already have the Switch, go for PlayStation 4. And I'm going to stop right now because I feel like I'm going to be rambling on and on and on without any means of stopping. So we're going to jump back into the playlist. And for this next song, we are going to traverse to the country of Ukraine for this next band. They're called On the Wane, and they just released an excellent new shoegazing album called Schism. From that record is the song The Real Coward.
don't run away. He's chained by fear until he's here. The real coward cannot run away. He's chained by fear until he's here.
Fun yet nonsensical Looking Ga, a version found on their Poly Six or Die compilation album, originally released by their now defunct Tofu Records. Back when I was in college, Tofu Records played a role in helping Japanese arts find some grounding in America, with bands like Lark on Ciel, Asian Kung Fu Generation, and TM Revolution releasing their records under that label. It's a shame they didn't last long. I think they closed up back in 2007. Because I feel like there needs to be more labels that focus on the Japanese music scene from an international standpoint. But who knows if someone else will ever step up to the plate to do something like that. Now, I know we've talked at length about the fall 2017 anime season, and if you had noticed, I have made some sprinklings of mentions of the new season of Himoto Amaro-chan, which has been aptly called Himoto Amaro-chan R. Now, listeners will know that I love this show since its original 2015 season, to the point where I actually have a life-size plushie of Umaru in her hamster girl mode. It's fucking adorable, and you could even wear the hood if you're in a trashy mood. But when the first season came out, many people hated it because, specifically because the title character was, as I just said, trash. And to some extent, I do agree, but I feel that trashy element helped make the show more entertaining. However, there's been a big change of opinion regarding Himoto Amaro-chan from a lot of people who initially disliked the series. And the reason behind that is because of how the show has evolved. Rather, there's something that this season of Amaro-chan has that wasn't in the previous one, and that was legit character development. I mean, yes, there are a couple elements of season one where Umaru does good and reaches out to the outside world, but in the end, she always returns to her sloth ways. But in season two, not only is she evolving, but she's realizing her lazy ways and how she's been a burden to her brother Taihei. Because of this, we are seeing more of Umaru hanging out with friends, socializing, and being a big help to her brother. And while she is still going back and forth between her hamster mode and her real mode and keeping that side of her a secret, she has in a few cases let that persona leak out into the real world, especially when it comes to comforting her nervous friend Kirei. I should also mention that characters like Kirei, Ebina, and Sylphie also have their moments of evolution in the show, with Ebina attempting to try to showcase her feelings to Taihei, Sylphie realizing that true friends don't always compete with one another, and Kirei breaking out of her own shell as she hangs out with the rest of the crew. Of course, this doesn't take away from the fact that Himoto Amaro-chan R is still a very funny show, and probably one of the biggest surprises in a year where a lot of shows have gotten a second season. So, if you kind of shooed off Umaru initially, I would highly recommend giving it a second chance. You can catch Himoto Amaro-chan R on Anime Strike, and it has been licensed by Sentai Filmworks. Let that hamster girl back into your life if you haven't yet. She may leave potato chip bags and empty Coke bottles around, but her presence won't make things too messy. Noisy Cell are prepping for a new digital single due out in a couple weeks, but right now we're gonna spin something from their recent Pieces EP. Here's The Junk and the Moon.
Life was born, it was gleaming a volley of waste. So sad and torn, deep and dark, there came beautiful grace. That light brought it, dreaming past, it was made of junk. I wonder why I was born, life said to himself. Above his head shines a full moon, minding his name so soon. I was born for you, I spent for you, cause your light shined me so bright. What do you think? I don't blink, and I'm telling out you all night. If I could meet you, I will be better, and I wanna say one word. Start to pick up by that junk at volley of waste. He went up while a volley to find the real face. If I climb up, I can see you, but he can see her. Moonlight wasn't what he thought it would be. Why so far? He muttered and he cried a river thousand times. His tears soon stopped sinking the word and soon made a sea. Oh, I was born for you, I swam for you, 'cause your light shines me so bright. What do you think? I don't blink, and I still end up you all night. We'll fly to you in the dark night, sky and sea melt into dark. What do you think? I don't blink, and I still end up you all night. If I could meet you, I will be better. And I wanna say one word. No one can hear him cry anymore. Never ever move again, move again. Reflected dark night, silent sea. He does not move under the sea. He was shined up by the moon. He was just like a blinking star. I was born for you, I swear for you, 'cause your light shined me so bright. What do you think? I don't blink, and I still end up you all night. We'll fly to you, 'cause your light shined me up. I don't blink, I don't blink, I love you.
Just because we get around,
talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful,
talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old,
talking about my generation.
To my generation, to my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Don't try and dig what we all say. Big sensation.
Just
talking about my
generation.
What we all
say.
I'm trying to cause a big sensation. Just talking about my generation. We could get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
From their debut album, The Who Sings My Generation. That was actually pretty self-explanatory. I guess back in the 60s, they couldn't come up with really good album titles. Isn't that right, John Starr of Wicked Anime?
Yeah. I always thought that that song didn't really sound like The Who. It was just really different. And I think growing up, this was like when I was really little.
Yeah.
So growing up, I didn't realize that it was a Who. I probably realized that it was like, is that David Bowie or is that the Beatles? You know,
or maybe even like the Ramones or something like that. But it felt like a precursor to the whole punk era that would be started technically by Iggy and the Stooges and MC5 before going more into the mainstream with the Ramones.
Yeah.
The reason why we're playing The Who's My Generation is because it actually served as the opening theme song to the movie that we're going to be talking about, which is A Silent Voice, which is based on the manga by Yoshitoki Oima.
And it was really funny because literally, I think it was the weekend before we saw this. It was literally a week ago that it was on our very own podcast. We were talking about anime using American music as their openings and right. How they never do that. And then we went to the movie theaters the very next weekend to see A Silent Voice, and boom, there's The Who right at the very beginning.
Now, the reason why they actually chose The Who is because Pete Townsend is deaf, wasn't deaf by birth, but mainly because of all the years of playing rock music and not wearing earplugs.
Thank you for explaining that to me, because I was saying, why the heck are they playing The Who?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you might recall, I don't know if you've ever seen the clip of The Who on the Smothers Brothers when they did this song, and it ends with them smashing up their instruments, and I think it's Pete Townsend who throws his guitar into the bass drum, and it just blows up.
Oh, nice.
Because back then, one of the things they would do is they would fill up the bass drum with a little tiny bit of pyrotechnics to give a big boom at the end. But they accidentally filled it up one too much. And because of that, it exploded and it caused Pete Townsend to lose all his hearing and I believe his right ear.
No way. Oh, wow. That is a very rock and roll story.
It is a very rock and roll story.
You don't get more rock and roll than that.
So let's dive into the movie, which is from Kyoto Animation. And I feel like that this was the start of Kyoto Animation getting out of its Moe Blob phase that we've seen with K-On! And Hyoka, and even with a little bit of what we had with Mirai Colors Phantom World.
Yeah, it was probably the most innocent thing that they had ever done, and the most heartfelt, and the one that wasn't jamming anime down your throat.
No, you know? There was a lot more realism into the way that they were telling this story.
Yeah, it's a very, very somber, realistic story, and it is meant to get you emotionally distraught, I think, to put it, because it certainly put me that way.
Yeah, but in a good way, like not in a way that kind of forces it down your throat, but more of a realistic sort of way, kind of like how Wolf Children was, how they were managing to push so much realism and emotion to it, and that you actually legit felt the way that the mother felt about her two kids.
Right, and that's true, but the difference between Wolf Children and A Silent Voice is Wolf Children has that little bit of fantasy behind it that kind of disconnects you from the story.
Which is true, yes.
It reminds you that you are watching a film. Now, A Silent Voice could have been a true story through and through.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing about A Silent Voice, is this movie is so grounded in reality that it's almost like, oh my gosh, this could have actually happened to somebody, you know?
There is an organization that helped out with the original manga, and it was actually an organization like the Japan Society for the Deaf. Yeah. And I'm wondering if they took real stories that people would tell the manga writer, and she implemented it into the story itself.
I like it when they focus on that much detail for this, because I mean, this is an important film. I don't think that they would skimp on that sort of thing for this film because of the message that they're trying to read. I found it, by the way. It's the Japanese Federation of the Deaf.
Yep, I found it too.
Yeah, okay. That, which, didn't they do that for, what was that other anime? Gangsta. where the other lead character was deaf in that too, and they actually, I think the Japanese Federation of the Deaf worked with them so that they got his character correct.
Yeah, because I know that, like in A Silent Voice, the person who voiced the person that was deaf wasn't deaf in real life.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's, it could have fooled me. I'm sure that they went through some kind of, you know, study or training or, you know.
Yeah, the woman who plays Shoka in the Japanese version. Because in the English version, they do have someone that is deaf playing her character.
Oh, that's interesting.
Lexi Cowden. But in the Japanese version, it's Sari Hayame, who is one of my favorite voice actresses, not just because of her acting, but also because of her singing. She played Nino in Anonymous Voice.
Aha, yeah.
So we should actually dive into what this story is about, because it is a very important message that this story is portraying. Because yeah, you have the character of Shoya, who is trying to help out a person that he initially bullied back in elementary school. He almost decided to kill himself, but then, like, at the very last minute, decided to try to find this person, Shoko, the deaf girl, who, like, he bullied back in elementary school to the point of her actually transferring out.
It hits very close to home for me as a high school teacher, because I'm in that environment, and I have a zero tolerance policy in my classroom. Like, I do not accept, you know, bullying of any kind, or you know, people who don't accept other people for being different. Like, right, that's a terrible thing. And that really struck a chord with me, even though I'm not like an elementary school teacher. I do work with that youth often. And I always want to enforce, you know, relationships, like, not nobody has to get along with each other, but bullying should not be a thing.
Right, you know? Exactly. I mean, it's one thing just not to like the person because you have differences, but it's one thing to bully somebody because they have something that's different from you.
Exactly. And I think that the reason why they made, like, it's for that reason that they made this movie. And I think that it's a phenomenal message, and the way that they told that story is also very good. And I think that, I mean, this is the very beginning of the movie too, that we see the characters, the main characters, turn around, you know, when Shoya actually, you know, turns around. It's right at the very beginning of it. He's an adult, would you say?
I think he's a senior in high school.
Yeah. So he's grown up, and he's changed his ways, which does actually happen. Just for anybody who may be listening who is still young in school, and some people and are being bullied, some people do actually change. They grow up, they mature. Some don't.
Right.
And but you learn when you grow up, which is why I always like the It Gets Better campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Because they tell you, and it's all true, that you'll grow up and you'll grow out of it and you'll get away from all these bad things that are happening. And this movie shows that too. And I like that they make the bully the main character of the film. They could have made Shoko the main character of the film and have this bully come back into her life. But I don't think it would be as effective if he was a side character.
Correct.
So,
because I feel like that there's some elements that you see in this film, like, even though that he has changed his ways, the mentality that the rest of the class has on him has stayed the same since elementary school.
That's true. Yeah.
And which I want to actually ask you a question about that, because, like, when Shoko is forced into transferring, like, everybody starts to bully Shoya. My question for you is, are they bullying him because of how he treated Shoko? Or are they bullying him because he also told them that everybody else is bullying him too?
I think it's a little bit of both, because Shoko was the main target when she was in the elementary class. Everybody bullied her.
Right.
Then she left. They needed a new target. And they found that catalyst in Shoya, the boy who was also bullying her at the time, because he so quickly betrayed his friends and said, they all did it with me. And now he grouped them all together as the bad guy. And So because of that, they were like, oh, he's the new target. So it's both.
Because you'll notice how, like, everybody starts treating him differently. Not just because of, like, what he's doing in elementary school. Even in high school, like, he mentions to, like, a couple students, oh, I like that band too. And then the other kid's like, oh, I guess I'm not going to listen to them anymore.
Yeah, which is a terrible thing. I mean, like, granted, he is the bad guy at the beginning of the film, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So,
but, like, honestly, they do this thing where you can't help but start to feel sorry for him when he gets a taste of his own medicine. Because at that point, he's already figured out what I did was wrong.
Yeah.
But it's already too late for him at that point, which is, like, terrible. You know, it's that you feel that terrible feeling that he's not coming back from this at the very beginning there.
Correct.
Right?
Which is why it takes so many years for him to help find that redemption, whether it's helping out Shoko and even going so far as to reaching out to his old friends or making new friends like he does with the what's his name? The one who, like, the very first person that he helps out and becomes his, like, best friend.
Kisuke?
Yes, Kisuke.
It's been a while since we've seen this movie.
I know. It's been a month since we actually saw this film, which is why
this
we have...
a long
review. This is why we have the Wikipedia page up, just to, like, try to remind ourselves what we saw. Even though we remember a good chunk of it, there are aspects of it that we gotta be like, okay, this was this character, that was that character.
I don't know. It's hard to go through this without saying, like, let's talk about the emotional stuff in this film, because the entire film is pretty emotional. But let's talk about Shoko, the girl who is deaf. You always put the person first, and then you put their disability second.
Or rather say the woman who was hearing impaired.
Yes, right. So the girl with the hearing impairment.
Because when you meet her, she's kind. She's like the kindest person in the school, and for her to be treated that way as an elementary school student, it's really rough to watch how she's being treated.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, is they take a very realistic approach as to how she starts getting bold, and I think that they transition into it perfectly. Everybody in the class loves Shoko at the beginning, and she wants to fit in, and she's doing it well at first. However, the students, the elementary school students, who have no bearing on what it means to take responsibility for another human being, let alone themselves, or rather even just be friends with somebody who needs an extra push, you know, in order to be helped along with their disability. They get tired of it. And because they get tired of it, they'd rather not help her and bully her and say, like, haha, you're different and I don't want to help you. So instead, I'll push you down. I'll take your hearing aids away from you, which was that tore me up so bad.
Yeah, that tore me up. But my question to you is, do you think the teachers had a hand of them pushing towards that mentality? Because at the start, they're all okay. Everything's working out very well. And then one of the teachers is like, hey, let's all learn sign language so we can talk to Shoko normally. And they're like, well, how come we can't just do what we're already doing? And because of that, they feel like they're getting more work pushed upon them because of Shoko.
I think that that aspect of it was correct. I think that they did need to know. Somebody did need to learn sign language. And because the reason for that was that Shoko kept writing in that notebook to communicate with people. But the problem with it was that... who's the other character? Naoka? Naoka is first designated to help Shoko. She does it voluntarily and writing in her notebook. However, she ends up getting behind on her own work because she spends all of her time writing down what the teacher is saying in her notebook. So suddenly we get this scene where she's like, I can't do my own work. I can't believe she's not taking care of herself. And then she starts to bully her.
But you mentioned the sign language part. I thought you were talking about one of the other people.
No. Yeah, no, that's somebody.
Miyoko. That was Miyoko.
Yeah. Yeah, so she volunteers to learn the sign language, which is great. You know, she kind of stands up amongst the crowd when nobody else would do this for her. She was like, yeah, I would love to help out with that.
But then because of that, all the other students saw her as a goody two-shoes, started bullying her, and then she wound up leaving the school itself before even this happened to Shoko.
As to which that they took and blamed Shoko for, which... Again, it's terrible. I'm gonna say that there's a lot of terrible things here, but we haven't even like gotten past the first 15 minutes of the film.
I know.
Like, we're focusing on the first 15 minutes of the film, and there's so much content and so much story. Like, it's such a well-written story.
I will say, though, there are some pacing issues with it, but I feel like that the pacing adds more to the realism of it, because a lot of these issues can't be solved with the snap of one's fingers like they do in Hollywood movies.
So you were thinking that it was a little too slow?
In a couple places. Just a little bit slow, but not enough that it took me out of the movie.
Right. I didn't. I thought that the pacing was great. I thought that it worked for me, but that's because I was kind of invested in what every single character had in mind, because there was kind of, after we get this elementary school flashback, we have this conflict between the characters trying to connect with each other. And I think that maybe you're right that connection could have happened a little bit sooner, but then we wouldn't have been introduced to Shoko's sibling,
Yuzuru.
Yeah. And I think that Yuzuru is an important character to get to know through this whole thing, because Yuzuru is the connecting point, like this really, really weird connecting point between Shoko and Shoya's world.
Which, by the way, the part of Yuzuru is played by one of our favorite voice actresses, Yuki Aoi, who, it's amazing this, I know I talked about this in your most recent episode of Wicked Anime, but it's amazing seeing like Yuki Aoi jump into like a role like Yuzuru and then jump into Saga of Tanya the Evil and then play Froppy in My Hero Academia, and then like Yoshino and Aho Girl, and then this season and My Girlfriend is Show Bitch is the main character.
Yeah, very diverse actress, and she hasn't been typecasted at all.
No, like, never typecasted.
There's a lot of characters in this film, by the way. If you haven't noticed by all of the names that we have been saying as we've been going through this, we're like, oh, elementary school teachers, and oh, parents, and siblings, and friends from school. You know, like, all these characters that just get together, you know, and for some reason, somehow, all these characters, these hodgepodge of characters, come together in this really nice, a silent voice salad that, you know, is healthy and nutritious and tastes very good.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about the parents of these characters too?
Because a little bit. I know that we're running a little bit short on time, but I would like to point out how the parents are treating both Shoya and Shoko in this film.
This is interesting because the parents are exact opposites of their children characters, which I think is a wonderful storytelling mechanism. Shoya's mother is so hospitable, takes in every child that comes to their door, and even pays back the other family for all of Shoya's bullying and wrongdoing, and she does it all with a smile, no matter what kind of abuse she takes back. Yeah. On the other side, Shoko and Yuzuru's mother is a really terrible person. Like, not to say that what she's doing is right, but she was put there in a very terrible circumstance. And it's not because of, just to clarify, it's not because of Shoko's disability at all.
Well, I would say that this is that opportunity where I would say that reading the manga plays a very important role into you seeing why the mother is like this. Because, right. Not to spoil anything, but you see why you don't see Shoko's father in a picture at all in this movie.
Right, and you had to explain that to me after the film was over. And while I think that it was okay that they cut it out, it was a very important key thing. Like, even though it was so small, and it could have been done in like a 2-minute scene. If they had 2 minutes onto the movie, they could have animated that scene.
Yes, they could have done that. And it adds on to just how Shoko has felt. For starters, she's no burden on anybody whatsoever, but because of how everybody reacts around her, or how things seem to fall apart around her, she feels like she's at fault in some way, and she hides that from everybody else.
Right. Oh, man. I didn't realize that there was going to be so much to talk about in this movie, and we're already running out of time.
I know. And I apologize to our listeners, but this is one of those movies that I do highly recommend you checking out. Now, I know John is going to talk more about another movie that's gotten a lot of attention on the next episode of Wicked Anime, the film Your Name. Now, I personally loved Your Name. You'll hear his opinion on the next episode because I want people to listen to it.
I didn't love it. I liked it. So let's leave it at that.
Okay. But I will say that I feel like A Silent Voice is the movie that more people should have been talking about, not Your Name.
Agreed. While Your Name has some things to behold in film history, I think that everybody should see A Silent Voice first.
Or no, see it second, and then you get to see the flaws of the previous movie.
Well, that's true. Or like, what's that car commercial? Shop us last, you'll love us.
Yeah.
Exactly. You should watch Your Name because it is something to behold, but then watch A Silent Voice because that is what is movie making is about, you know?
And it is on, like, the long list of movies to be nominated for an Oscar. And I actually hope it does get nominated, at least, because I feel like it's a movie more people should be talking about, because no one's making movies like this. Like,
yeah,
when's the last time you've seen a film focusing on a bully trying to redeem himself? Not to mention the story of a hearing-impaired girl trying to overcome adversity.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think that there's something that hasn't been said before in this film, or at least not in a very long time, and not in such a beautiful way. You know, this is truly a film, and almost in the same sense of The Girl Who Leapt Through Time by Mamoru Hosoda, where every frame in this film is a painting.
Yeah.
You know, it's gorgeous. It's just like the environment around you comes to life. It's beautiful. It's colorful. And it tugs at your emotional heartstrings. Oh, does it tug at your heartstrings?
Absolutely. And hopefully this movie gets released soon on Blu-ray, because it's going to be a day one buy for me. I don't care if it's like Aniplex that releases this film. I will. Aniplex will have my money for this movie.
Yeah.
John Starr, thank you so much for joining me here on Boston Bash Brigade. And for our listeners, tell them where they can find all the information for Wicked Anime.
Absolutely. You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com if you want to give us any of your input or opinions. We can be found at nerdyshow.com, where you can find our videos and our podcast. Our biweekly podcast can be found anywhere that you can find podcasts. That's iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Audioboom, etc. You can find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. And then we also have a Twitch channel that we play seldomly, but it's fun when we do. That's Wicked Anna Play over on Twitch. So we're all over the net.
Now, I know we talked a little bit about you guys talking about Your Name on the next episode of Wicked Anime. What else is going to be going on in that episode?
Well, Andrew's back from Japan.
That's right. Andrew is back from Japan.
So we hear all about his stories and his proverbs that he created while he was there. And it's just we have a lot of really interesting news stories because we hadn't talked about news in like 2 months. So yeah, there were a lot of interesting news pieces over those couple of weeks that we missed. So, yeah, there's a lot to catch up on in this one. It's a jam-packed episode, but it has a lot of content in it.
Awesome. John Starr, thank you once again, and I'm looking forward to when we're recording on the next episode, because it's always a blast being on your show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Coming up, here is a punk rock classic from the Land of the Rising Sun from their self-titled 1987 debut album. Here are the Blue Hearts with Linda Linda. なりたい写真には写らない美しさがあるから We'll be right back.
強い力を僕は一つだけ持つ。
Mono Bright with Atama no Naka no SOS from their debut album Mono Bright 1. The band are in the midst of a 10th anniversary tour with shows planned throughout the end of the year. I actually was in Japan when they released their first major single, Mikansei Riot, finding out about them via their music video playing on Space Shower TV. And I went to the HMV in Shibuya a couple days later and grabbed it with a few other albums that were on my list to find. Great band. They've had their flaws with some of their later records, but I think Mono Bright are fantastic nonetheless. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/OmMysteryInc. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's track from On the Wane, made by Shameless Promotion PR. Thank you, as always, for sending down these amazing acts for us to play. So for the next three episodes of No Borders, No Race, it'll be time for our 2017 wrap-up. In December, we'll be counting down our top 20 records of the year, and we'll also hopefully have some friends of the show share some of their favorite album picks. I know it feels like it's a tad bit early for us to be doing this, but I think we finalized a great list of records that should be in anyone's collection. Then after that, the first show of 2018 will be our Wiki's post show, where we'll be spinning our favorite anime openings and endings of the past year. So be prepared for three episodes of the best of 2017. Now, because of this, there won't be an annual holiday show this year. However, on today's episode, we've got a special Christmas track to end things off from our friends in Skinny Lister. And if you really love this song, and if you live in the UK, you can help them earn the title of Christmas Number One. For our non-British listeners, the Christmas Number One is the title given to the song that tops the charts in time for the holidays. So, if you want to give an amazing band a big push, download or stream this future Christmas classic on the week of December 15th through the 21st. From the deluxe edition of last year's The Devil, The Heart, and The Fight, here are Skinny Lister with Christmas Calls. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Oh, darling, we made it through another stormy year, and despite the wreck we made of this one, I swear the best from here. Say goodbye to this mess. Let us
Christmas Carol.
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.